It's the Rule of Threes podcast. It's May 31st, Casey.
Right before game one.
That's right. We're fitting it in. I'm excited. I mean, I was all ready to talk about the finals.
Yeah.
And good thing nothing else has happened in the NBA since.
Nothing else.
There's not, been no other story has showed up.
Here's the thing. I think, you know, one of the things is we want to, on the Rule of Threes podcast, we want to be responsible. We want to be the type of podcast that owns up to the things that we, you know, will take people to task.
I see where this is going.
I got to talk about my burner accounts. Who here on this podcast in this room has more than one Twitter account? I'm raising my hand right
well,
now.
Well, I have more than one, but they're not burner accounts.
Well, I mean, they don't have my name and my face on them. Mm. You know, they're accounts where I am not myself.
I have an account called Realistic Jokes.
Oh.
Realistic underscore jokes that okay. I started a couple years ago that I was going to just tweet out just like jokes with, like, for example, I think I tweeted out like, why did the chicken cross the road?
Okay.
The chicken has no concept of roads and yeah. was just randomly walking across.
Taking a joke and putting it in a real situation.
Sort of anti-comedy. Yeah, and that lasted about four tweets.
Yeah, yeah. Pretty much all of my burner accounts lasted about four.
Did you tweets. Actually have burner accounts?
Oh, I have many. I have so many burner accounts.
How many? Are you setting up like email accounts to create
these? No, all you need to do is add plus at the end of your Gmail account and then anything. And then you can sign and they go to the same email address.
That's a hot tip. Hot Colangelo tip there.
I have an account that I've had and don't update often. It's called Rabid Laker Fan.
Mm.
It is a ring chasing, all caps wearing Laker fan with a bucket on his head who tweets very loudly about how amazing the Lakers are in a very rabid way. It was like if a Laker fan got bit by a squirrel that had rabies. That's this account.
That's cool. By the way, we're in the garage now.
Yeah.
We're doing Marc Maron style, which means you might hear a drill every once in a while.
Yes.
Because someone's doing construction. And I don't think we should close that window.
It's the city of Los Angeles. Everybody's doing construction.
Yeah. What's another burner account?
Back in 2009 or 10 or whenever Archer first started, I had a Sterling Archer parody Twitter account.
Okay.
Which was not funny. Was never a parody of anything.
It's weird to parody something that's a comedy already.
Oh, man. Everything about that is bad.
This is how you learn, though.
Yeah. You know, you got to start somewhere. And here's the thing, is that all of these were, you know, tied to my email address, but none of them defended me in any way. None of them.
There's not one that's like, you know, Casey's so much better than Chris on the Rule of Threes podcast.
No, it's not one like Casey's East Asian history teachers shouldn't have flunked him because, you know, he was trying really hard and he needed just that class to graduate.
He's now hosting a podcast with a person of East Asian descent.
That's very
true.
So
this is a way of redemptive.
It's redemption for the two quarters I failed and the one quarter I had to take just to get my degree.
You don't have tweets that are like, hey, ask Chris about that physical that he failed.
No, I would never tweet that.
That's a HIPAA violation.
Yeah, I can't do that. I'm not here to violate HIPAA. And here's the thing. We know now, a couple of days after the incident, which in case you're not familiar.
Yeah, Brian Colangelo, mm-hmm. general manager for the 76ers, was discovered to have about five burner accounts on Twitter.
Yes.
Seems pretty clear that it's true.
A couple of days later, though, evidence points to his wife being the operator of many of those accounts.
Ooh.
So that's the update that has happened overnight. Is that
the damage control or is that real?
I don't know. It feels real because all of them were tied to her phone number.
Wife or ex-wife?
I think it is wife.
Like, does she have a reason to?
You know, I mean, stand by your man.
Oh, so maybe. But why would she sync them to like his email accounts?
Apparently, she. It was like an email that was hers.
bpcolangelo@gmail.com.
I think that is her email. And I'm not sure.
I wish I hope
she
that,
had she had like access to that account. Maybe it was a shared account.
I hope that her name is Bedelia Priscilla Colangelo.
Bedelia. It's like Amelia Bedelia, but just one name.
But he did admit to operating the one.
Yes, but the one had no tweets.
Okay.
Right. They just all followed the same
Interesting.
People. So that's the thing is that now they're you know, first it was the investigation. I was like, this has got to be Colangelo. Mm-hmm. Then the second investigation came through, and we're like, tweets came out at the same time he was doing media availability.
Uh-huh.
You know, things were being tweeted when it didn't make sense for him to have been tweeting because he was on camera taking questions.
So what about when the Ringer informed the 76ers about the one and then the other ones went dark?
Okay.
Within 15 minutes.
Here's the question, right? They talk to Colangelo. Colangelo calls his wife and is like, did you do this? And she goes, oh, yeah.
And then she shuts it down.
That's the theory that I've been reading on Twitter.
And then why would Colangelo come out and say, someone's out to get me, instead of just being like, it's my wife, guys?
Because here's the thing. No matter whether or not it was his wife or not, he went the denial route, right?
Yeah.
He's trying to protect her. He's trying to protect him. Even if it's his wife saying all those things, that's still a bad look for him and for the organization.
By the way, you can schedule tweets, so you could definitely be like, post this in 10 minutes when I'm doing an interview.
That is 100% a thing that you can do.
Yeah.
So, if he really was going the long con, that's a galaxy brain.
The whole thing is really weird. The article's on The Ringer. I will say that I don't think scheduling tweets is a thing most normal people do.
No.
I also am befuddled that, like, the names of the tweet accounts that Brian Colangelo or his wife came up with those.
Those are weird-ass names. They look like fake hacker,
Like bot names, for sure. Uncohen sources. It's, like, unknown but misspelled.
Yeah.
There's one that's, like, still bawling.
Still bawling. That one is ridiculous.
Is that the one defending his collar?
Oh, yeah. I don't think it was one defending his collar.
That's a simple collar. Get a new slant.
I mean, here's the thing. I love collars. I'm wearing a collared shirt right now. You're wearing a collared shirt right now. I don't have any need to defend my collars.
The collar actually makes it more credible that it's his wife.
Yes, 100%.
Being like, I bought him that shirt.
I starched that this week, and I'm so mad that he didn't fold it correctly. Because, you know, it was a little splayed out there.
I'm more interested to find out the truth than I, like, it's a hilarious development. And I think they pointed out in an interview with the author of the article that he likes the scandal because there's really no, like, real victims. Like,
no.
It's not like something awful is at the end of it. It's just like a bunch of bad unprofessional behavior.
Yeah, and it's so dumb. It is so, so dumb.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, one of the things I really like about the NBA is that a lot of their scandals are very dumb.
Mm.
You know, you had Kevin Durant's burner accounts. Mm-hmm. You had, this season we had the Houston Rockets and the Los Angeles Clippers fighting in the underground tunnels. Like,
I was reminded,
was stupid as hell.
I was reminded through readings of this article about Steve Kerr's DM that was a public tweet.
Yeah, yeah.
And apparently it was just about James Harden traveling on step back jumpers. So it's the NBA this year with Twitter. NBA plus Twitter has sort of turned into WWE, except there's actual sports.
Yeah.
By the way, I harbor no arguments ever of people saying that their league is rigged. I just came up when I was reading today. I can't tolerate.
You can't tolerate
those statements.
Got it. Yeah, that doesn't make any sense. Why would they rig anything other than the draft lottery in which the Knicks won? You know, that's the only thing that's been rigged. Shout out to me reading ESPN in 2004. Hot ass old takes.
Let's talk finals.
Yeah. Hey, welcome to the NBA finals.
We're here.
We made it. What a slog. But, like, good slog. Slog is the wrong word. What a journey.
Yeah.
I think is the better way to say that.
I don't know how I feel about this playoffs in general. I feel like
first round was awesome.
I feel like this playoffs was more fun because we did the podcast. first round was great.
Second round.
Well, yeah, is that when the Raptors went down?
Yes, that's when the Raptors
went down. Second round is when the Eastern side of it kind of, like, fell off a little bit.
Yeah, because the Sixers didn't put up much of a fight. You know, I really wanted them to.
The Pelicans didn't.
And neither did the Jazz. It was kind of
Jazz, that was probably the closest.
Yeah.
And it wasn't that close.
And that's not to say that all blowout series are uninteresting.
Yeah.
But it is to say that those four in particular did not feel like they lived up to the hype.
And I feel like we both thought that the conference finals, which were game sevens,
yeah,
were actually four seven game series, were not that exciting.
Yeah, we wished that they had been there had been a time when there was excellence from both teams at the same time.
There's definitely been six game and even five game series that were more interesting than these last two.
Yeah, 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 absolutely.
So I don't think that this finals bodes well for the Cavaliers.
I don't think you're going to find anybody who's going to say publicly.
Jay Williams on ESPN's Get Up. Is that the name of their new morning show?
Get Up.
I liked cold pizza back in the day.
I feel like I'd rather get up than cold pizza. Just I always heat my pizza up, and that is that's a personal choice.
Oven, microwave, or skillet?
So personally, if I'm going for best, I'm doing it on the skillet.
Skillet's great.
Love it. That's you don't always have that time.
But I'm good with cold pizza with sriracha on it.
Sriracha's so good on pizza.
And my new discovery, it's been around forever, never got around to trying it. El Yucateca.
Oh, yeah?
It's like a habanero sauce.
Yeah,
it's significantly hotter than sriracha.
Oh, yeah.
But pretty good on pizza as well.
Yeah, because sriracha's a little sweet. You know, it'll add that spice in that sweet.
Sriracha's great on french fries.
Oh, yeah.
Jay Williams from Get Up, ESPN TV show, today picked Cavs in seven. And everybody was just like,
What?
Okay.
Yeah, first off, Cavs in seven implies that they're going to win game seven in...
Right, in Golden State.
Which they've done before, as a completely different team with different players.
When Kevin Durant was not in that series.
Correct.
Yeah. And they had Kyrie.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a big thing.
And a Kevin Love who wasn't, looking around and being like, what is this bright light?
Uh-huh. There's three baskets to shoot at?
Yes.
I think that... The sample size thing with the playoffs is such that it creates these narratives of like, well, I guess these Cavs must be a threat in some way because they made it this far. And I just don't think that they are.
Yeah.
Kevin Love is probably the best shot at averaging double digits for the series.
Besides
LeBron?
LeBron, yeah.
Because let's say LeBron averages 40 points per game.
Okay.
You still have to get 60 points from someone else.
Yeah, and then you have to have your shit-ass defense hold
them to 99.
Yeah.
Which is unlikely.
Okay, yeah, I mean...
Maybe let's say LeBron averages 40. If Kevin Love can average 20, which is very unlikely.
So then you're saying that we need to get 40 points from our boy Jordan Clarkson, Larry Nance, George Hill, Kyle Korver, J.R. Smith... Tristan Thompson.
Yeah, and also you would even accept Jordan Clarkson goes off one game in the series.
Yeah.
Jeff Green goes off one game in the series.
Yeah, Jeff Green.
Kyle Korver in one game makes six three-pointers.
I was reading something where we're talking about for the Cavs to win, they need everything to go right. They have a negative margin of error, which is that not that nothing can go wrong, but that everything has to go right. That it's so hard for them to win this series because there's just nothing they can do to recover from making mistakes.
They have to have everything go right, and they have to have a significant number of things go wrong on the Warriors side. Yeah. And the main problem is, to me, the defense.
Yeah.
And I think that today they were talking on ESPN about that they're going to put LeBron on Durant.
Okay.
Which I guess, so I think last year he guarded Durant in 50% of the possessions or something like that.
Yeah.
But I mean, if he has to run around and guard. So by the way, Durant will not help him if he ISOs, because essentially those are not that strenuous defensive possessions than running around tracking him on motion.
Yeah.
So if Durant decides to ISO as much as he did against the Rockets, he's going to be doing LeBron a favor.
Yeah.
Even if he scores over him.
Because LeBron gets to rest when he's playing that ISO defense.
In the defensive position and Durant shoots a jumper over you, you haven't expended a ton of energy.
No.
You've gotten beaten.
Yes.
But they'll take that. If they can have the Warriors ISO every play, they will take that for sure.
Yeah. For some reason, I think that they're not going to get stuck in that because going to get made to stick in
they
that.
They won't have their options taken away.
Yeah, the continuity of Houston's defense, which is something that really threw the Warriors for a loop when they were being challenged, is not something that I think that the Cavs can sustain for anything longer than 6 minutes.
I don't even know that they have the structure to communicate in a way to sustain it. Because I don't think it's an effort thing.
No.
I think there will be games where the Cavaliers put in a lot of effort on defense and then get back cut to hell.
Yeah.
Like J.R. Smith and Jeff Green and Larry Nance and Jordan Clarkson are all guys that are going to be like, look, coach, I'm working hard on defense. I'm going for steals in the pass. And they're going to pay.
Yeah. And that, I feel like all those guys, except for Nance, that's how they play. Like Nance is playing like that because he came over half season and just, you know, didn't have time to get everything in their defensive schemes.
Larry Nance has the, well, yeah. So
I think he has the capability to be a better defensive anchor than he can be right now.
I think this is partially because he played half the season with the Lakers. Nance has the highest defensive RPM on the team. Because that Lakers defense was good.
Good defense, baby.
Who has the next highest on the Cavaliers?
Korver, probably, right?
Kevin Love.
That doesn't make any goddamn
sense.
And
Korver is third.
Okay. Well, I was going to say, because it feels like one of the reasons Kyle Korver is probably going to have a high defensive RPM is because they stick him on the weakest guy. And then his help defense is pretty good.
I mean, I wish I knew how defensive RPM was calculated as a review.
So rebounds per minute?
Yeah, exactly. So, that's how you measure defense, is how many rebounds you grab.
Yeah, Tristan Thompson, baby.
I will reiterate, LeBron finished the season in the number 400 position in the league in defensive RPM.
Okay. All right.
At like negative two something or whatever.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah. I mean, again, who knows how that's calculated, but it's not good. It's like,
no, if he was like 150, you'd be like, well, you know, who knows? You know, there's some variance there. He could be anywhere from actually this to that. But if you've got 390 something people above you,
I mean, he literally only has like 20 people behind him.
Yeah. Well, that's low. That's bad.
Yeah. I want to bring up a stat that I think is not a good sign for the Cavaliers.
Okay. You mean other than the fact that...
Unless you call just a list of the roster a stat.
Yeah. What advanced stat is going to tell us?
This is not advanced. This is a very basic stat, which is opponent three-point shooting.
Okay.
In the regular season. This is like how good a team is at guarding three-point shots from the other team.
Okay.
The Golden State Warriors in the playoffs so far have faced the New Orleans Pelicans.
Okay.
Who were number 8 in the league. They held people to 35.5% from three-point line.
Got it.
They faced the Houston Rockets at number 7 at 35.1%.
Okay.
And in the first round, they faced the Spurs at 34.8%. So
They were fourth
in the league.
Fourth. Okay.
Celtics were first.
Seventh, fourth, and fifth.
8-7-4.
8-7-4. Sorry. Yeah.
The Cavaliers were 20th in the league, three-point defense, holding people to 36.8%. So the difference between, it's not huge, but it's like, but that's also a cumulative, like, season-long stat.
Yeah.
So Cavaliers are 20th in the league guarding the three-point line.
Okay. So that's something, it feels to me like I remember reading that three-point defense is not something that correlates year to year. It's kind of, it's random in a way where it's not super great at predicting how good you're going to be at three-point defensive shooting in the future, which doesn't lend itself to being something that's predictive of how you're going to do in any specific game. I don't know how much that is something that we're going to be able to look at and say, okay, they're not defending the three-point line well, or over the season, they just kind of got unlucky. There's that variance level.
Yeah, I mean, Golden State is decently good at it.
They have been for a while, right?
Yeah, Golden State is 10th, and like last year, they were like second or third. I think that there is some truth to that, but there must be some, like, you know, if you're in the top third sort of reliably,
okay,
you must have good philosophies about closeouts and rotations and that kind of stuff.
And I think it'd be very interesting to see what the relationship between that and two-point shooting is.
Uh-huh.
Right, whether or not giving up you know, whether or not
if you're giving up a lot of, yeah.
Is your defense stout no matter what? Or are you focusing on the 3-point line to the detriment of 2-pointers? Or are you just bad at defense? Like, what's the connection?
You
there?
Could theoretically have a good low 3-point percentage if you're like closeouts are so kind of bad that people like give up like not great shots to just get a layup.
Yeah.
Cause then that would never be reflected and you're only like pulling out the one.
Yeah. It's tough.
But I think as a general trend, it's not a good sign.
No. And you had kind of talked about, you know, 3-point percentage as a thing to look out for
against the Pelicans,
yeah. But also against the Rockets, and how they were shooting. And, as we can tell from Game 7 in that series, 3-point percentage was a pretty important thing.
In the playoffs so far, the worst 3-point team in the playoffs were the Spurs.
Okay.
They shot 29.8%. If I told you this before the playoffs, it wouldn't bode well, but the Rockets are the third worst 3-point shooting team, probably mostly from that game. They shot 33.7%.
Which is like... 33.7% is still a very good offense from 3-point line because that ends up being
50%.
1 point per possession, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's not like elite, like 1.09 is like elite, but 1 point per possession is still stuff that you'd take over the course of a long period of time. Just, yeah.
Apropos of nothing, the Timberwolves shot 41% from three.
Hey, go Timberwolves.
Go Timberwolves.
You won a game this playoffs. Proud of you.
Yeah, I just think that like there's very. I was looking at just general stats.
Yeah.
Like across the board, and there's very few stats where the Cavaliers are better than the Warriors. The only one is turnovers.
And
they commit fewer turnovers.
Yeah. That.
But they also generate fewer turnovers.
Okay.
And on defense. I mean, is that from LeBron holding the ball?
And are the Warriors' turnovers that they're going to make, are they going to be ones that are generated or ones that are
given
to them?
Unforced errors.
Yeah. I feel like that's the Warriors' way is to play so beautifully that sometimes you look into the sun and you're like, that's where the ball is. I don't see it.
I saw an interview with Steph Curry, and he was saying that the boredom factor that everyone talks about, including us, he said was more true for the regular season than for the playoffs.
Okay.
And I do think that, like... People are saying like there's vulnerabilities with the Warriors and that they look a little out of focus. And I do think some of those are, hey, the Rockets are a great team that they played.
Yeah.
And people are going to look bad against a great team, even a great team.
Yeah.
Especially when they lose. So some of those may not be genuine vulnerabilities.
Okay.
They might just be like, hey, the Rockets defense is better than you thought it was.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, I thought it was great. I always thought it was great. Hey, man, don't come for mine.
No. I'm just saying it's an interesting thing of like the only way when you see the Warriors play bad, it's only because they are playing bad. It's not reflective of anything that the other team is doing.
Got it.
I will say to the unforced errors thing is that I think that trying to play this beautiful game, I do think sometimes they just go a little faster than they should.
Yeah.
But I also think it must be tough from their perspective, especially from Steph's perspective, because he has a history now of they have a lot of plays that are like, that's an ill-advised play.
Yeah.
Like the shot that he took that we talked about last time, kind of not a great shot.
No.
But it has worked out so many times that there must be a part of you that's like, man, why not just try this shot?
Can't we just go for it, please?
Yeah, and they have this philosophy of like playing with joy all the time. That Steph particularly. So and they all talk about they don't really think about the consequences. So I imagine that if they've made four turnovers in a row on the fifth play, they're like, yeah, but this is the play where we're going to turn her. Like this is going to be the one.
Okay, I got a question for you.
Yeah,
what cult would you rather join? Right. The Golden State Warrior style cult where they're like, they play with joy. They believe in themselves. And even if things go wrong, they keep doing the same thing. Or the all knowing, all powerful Cleveland Cavaliers style cult where one person leads a group of people into the promised land.
Oh, I mean,
like,
so.
I guess, you know, try to divorce it from thinking about Warriors and Cavaliers and think about like, if you were going to join a cult and give up your life. Like, what cult would you rather join?
Which cult is more likely to bus in homeless people so that we can vote in a municipal election?
I think that maybe the one with the Joy doesn't need
probably
to list them in. They already live.
The Joy one is a little more commune like
communal. Yeah, I feel like one powerful person doesn't bus people in unless they're like shipped in mid season. You know, for
the kind of work you need to watch that Wild Wild Country documentary.
I watched it. Yeah.
That kind of was mid season.
Yeah, it definitely was.
And then you know what? They got to like. They basically got to the playoffs, and then their playoff roster was like, these guys can't play on your team.
No, it was rude. It was like, you signed these guys after March 1st, and it's like, what?
They were all on two-way contracts.
It's tough. You know, you try to get them in there, and it's that CBA that we all signed called the Constitution.
I was thinking about, you know, when I was watching Game 7 of the Western Conference Finals, I think I have mentioned, I definitely mentioned to you this when we like went to the Lakers game, that when you, if you're a Warriors fan, you essentially are paying for like this immense rush of goodwill that you get when they turn a game around and win.
Yeah.
Like that is probably worth it to pay your $30 to $600 for your ticket, especially when, it's fairly reliable that it happens.
Yeah. Did you, you say $30 at the low end?
Is there a $30 low end ticket for them?
Oh, no.
What is their lowest ticket?
No, like $120
like, for like the nosebleed.
Oh yeah. Oh. You're not getting into Oracle for less than that, especially now with, you know, tech and success.
When are they moving to the new arena?
I don't know.
Exactly. Would it be Oracle like, Arena again?
I don't know. I don't know. The name will probably go up.
Hmm.
For bid to the highest bidder, and so I'm very excited to watch them play at Snapchat Arena.
Yeah, I was trying to think of like what the name of that electric scooter company thing.
Pedego.
You know the thing in LA and San Francisco now is like people competing to charge them.
Oh no.
Oh, it's a whole thing. There's a whole thing of like electric scooters that are like zip cars where you're like, hey, I want to just get a scooter and ride it down the beach, but they have to be recharged.
Okay.
So they will pay you to recharge them if you bring them to your house, charge them up, and then bring them back to the stand.
Yeah.
You get like credit. And now there's whole underground cultures that are like competing to like drive around and grab all the scooters that are uncharged.
Okay.
There's like a whole cottage industry of like people competing with each other, cutthroat.
Yeah, that's weird as hell.
Yeah, it's very strange. This is a very 2018 problem.
Wait, it's Bitcoin mining for Venice burnouts.
Yeah, exactly. Is there a way that the Cavaliers can win four games off this team?
Barring
injury.
Yes, there is. If they play 15.
Even 15.
I would say, yeah, they'll definitely win 4 out of 15 games.
Well, how many games have they played now in the 3 years?
Okay, so they had 6, 7, 5, and then 6 in the regular season. So 24.
And they've definitely won 4. I mean, they won 4 the 1 year.
Yes, yeah, they won 4, they won 2, they won 1. So that's 7. And then they won, I think, fully half of the games in the regular season. So they've won 10 out of 24, mm-hmm. basically. Which, right, 14 to 10, that's not, like, it's not, like, overwhelmingly bad. I mean, this particular team, though, is not the same team that won those.
Yes.
So, I mean, this particular team wins 4 games in 15 played games against the Warriors.
Yeah. Everything else we have said about Cavaliers Warriors honestly has been different because Kyrie was on the team.
Yeah.
I mean, Kyrie is a major like factor in that he can go get his own shot.
Get buckets.
He can do it in isolation.
Yeah.
So that like you don't need to run a crisp offense for Kyrie to get to the line or to get a bucket.
No. He was their pressure valve like Kevin Durant.
Yeah, exactly. And he's probably the best finisher in the league.
Yeah. The only problem is that he was a pressure valve off of a pressure valve, which is to say that, like, you know, which when LeBron didn't want to do something,
yeah,
like it was Kyrie's turn. And now, you know, he's had to do stuff all the time.
The next guy with that mentality is Jordan Clarkson.
And honestly,
he has that mentality.
Honestly, he earned it. Come up off of these streets,
Cavaliers fans hate him.
Well, hey, Can we protect our boy a little bit?
Oh, I mean, I love Jordan.
All right. I know we love him, but I just want to say this to Cavaliers fans. You don't know what you have, okay? That's a man who came from the University of Missouri to Los Angeles and learned how to date Kardashians, okay? How to score buckets, you know, 35 to 40% of the time. How to never get a rebound, because what has rebounding ever done for anyone? Okay. Jordan Clarkson's there to get buckets, make drives, and turn the ball over so that you can get back on defense.
Okay? But I will say that he protects other players from turning the ball over by not passing it to them.
That's very true. I mean, think about it. He's the guy who dives on the grenade for you.
Yeah. He gives them more offensive rebounding opportunities.
You may die. You may lose the war.
Uh-huh.
But he did it for you.
Yeah. Are his rebounding numbers really bad?
No, they're not that bad.
Okay. Because he's somebody that should be better on defense than he is. Because he's very bouncy, athletic.
Yeah.
And I wish Larry Nance could shoot an outside shot.
He'll get it. He'll get it.
Larry Nance, though, I will say, will probably come out with like 3 or 4 good highlights from this series.
Oh, I'm very excited to watch him just cram on Draymond.
Yeah.
Because he's not afraid to cram on anybody.
No.
And it'll happen, and they'll be down 20 when it happens.
Yeah.
And it'll be so sweet.
I mean, if he dunks on Zaza, Reddit will shut down.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We got some former Lakers in the finals.
First of all, Ty Lue.
Ty Lue, yes, of course. Famously stepped over in the finals.
That's right.
Stepped
over by finals loser Allen Iverson.
Hey, that finals winner that game. They won one and then lost 4 straight.
Was that 16-1 for that Lakers team?
I believe it was, yeah. Which was like, that was a pretty cool thing for Allen Iverson to have won.
Picked off the one game.
Yeah, that like.
Good for him and his $1 million a year for life salary from Reba.
He's better now. I got better.
We got Larry Nance.
Larry Nance. Springy. Bouncy. We got Nick Young.
Nick Young.
I want Swaggy P to get that ring.
Yeah, I would actually prefer Nick Young get it over Jordan Clarkson, and because those guys are young, they'll probably.
And Nick Young, oh man, he had a tough year, you know, after D'Angelo snapped his story, and then Iggy Azalea threw all of his stuff out of the house and burned it in a fire, and you know, he's had to find a new home, a new place to work, and. And boy, oh boy, has he done it.
And also not just like Adam Morrison riding the bench to like...
No, he plays.
He's making shots and like...
Like in game 7, he had so much passion.
Yeah.
When he was on the court. I was like, you know what? I love you. I love you.
I mean,
you got this.
Him and Jordan, I'm not sad that they don't play for us anymore, but I do have affection for them as players.
I did have a Swaggy P jersey.
Oh God.
Like I got it custom made with Swaggy P on the back.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, realistically, how many games do you think this is going to go?
5.
I think it'll go 5 as well.
Cavs in 5.
Timberwolves in 11.
Go back to the famous Twitter joke, Bucks in 6.
That's right.
You know, go. Yeah, oh yeah, Bucks in 6. We lost the first 2 games, Bucks in 6.
I think that there will be at least one game where the physicality that the Warriors were like not getting rebounds in the first half of there will be one game where J.R. Smith like punches somebody. Tristan is like there's a bunch of like,
because Tristan can be a nightmare for the Warriors to deal with, because Draymond needs to defend and not everybody else on the team is so great at boxing out, and Tristan can hang out down there.
So I think there will be one game that's kind of smash mouth.
Okay.
That people are going to be like, look at that. You just take it to the Warriors and like, that's how you get games off of them. And then
hey,
like,
now they're 6 all-stars.
That's right.
Game on court. Hey.
But I kind of want them to sweep it.
Just to like, I want to put this to an end kind of a thing. Like punctuate. It's a sweep. LeBron, you gotta leave kind of thing.
I want them to sweep it because I want I want the superiority of the Western Conference to be confirmed. Because I do think that the Cavaliers would have a tough series against the Rockets.
Okay.
I think they would have a tough series. It would be the closest, like, where you'd be like 50-50, I think might be like Cavaliers Jazz, you know, or like Cavaliers... Like Cavaliers Pelicans would be an interesting series.
Oh yeah,
there'd be interesting things to talk about with almost any of the Western Conference teams.
Yeah,
even like Cavaliers Spurs in this configuration with no Kawhi, like would still be an interesting series. You could
say that game would go seven because I'm saying that the Spurs and the Pacers. What's, you know, those two teams could be similarly talented.
Yeah.
I could see, I could see so many teams taking this Cavs team to seven.
That's right.
Right.
Well, also because
Boston did it.
Pacers did it.
The Pacers did it. Toronto did it. I'm sorry. They did it in my heart and my mind, and they won.
Actually, that's not true. The Raptors did take them to seven games, but three of them were not necessary.
Yes, that's correct.
They still got them to schedule seven games.
Yeah, those games were on the court. They were going to play those games, but then
the fact that they didn't play them doesn't mean that the Raptors didn't take them to seven.
That's very true. That's so
because
true.
Taking them to seven would be like we're only scheduling four games.
Yeah,
there were three games that were deemed not necessary.
They had to cancel concerts.
Because here's the thing: is they could play those three games. And the series could end up 4-3.
Yeah.
So, like, but the Raptors, like, you know what? It seems like you've gotten to the number that you need to get to.
Yeah. I bid you adieu on your journey and good luck in the future, my squire.
That's right. Do we have anything else to say about this finals?
Well, we're gonna have some stuff to say after game two. We're gonna reconvene and talk a little bit about what's happened.
I mean, so most likely what will happen is. The Warriors are like for a beautiful game, finesse team, jump shooting team.
Yeah.
For a wealthy fan base, like a lot of these are like, they're kind of like the modern day Showtime. There's things you could say that are similar to like the LA fan base.
Yeah.
But the Oracle Arena is like,
it bumps
like a great home crowd.
Yeah. And it feels like it's the type of crowd that would not be great because
yeah, exactly. Like you would think, arrivals. Like we're like Californians. Yeah. We leave early.
They go and like the best Lakers games have good crowds too, right?
They do.
Like yes, they will show up a little late, but once they're there, it's good. The best Clippers games have awful crowds because no one gives a shit, and the Clippers in arena experience is the worst in the league.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I just had to bring that up because I'm a hater, dog. I'm a hater.
So I see them winning the two games.
Yeah.
And taking one of the Cleveland games.
Cleveland's going to win game four.
Okay, and then winning in game five.
Because LeBron wants to go out on his home court a winner.
Yeah.
And the way to do that is by winning the NBA Finals on game four and then losing in game five.
Yeah. Which is what they did last year, right?
And then LeBron can just go home to Los Angeles because he's got houses.
The latest thing is that a lot of people are saying he's going to stay in Cleveland.
What an awful outcome that has been. Like, why couldn't the Pacers have just knocked them out and then LeBron would go wherever he wants to go?
Well, I mean,
why would he stay in Cleveland? He hates staying in Cleveland.
Come back to the story of the day. I tweeted this. I don't think he's going to the 76ers.
No, I don't think it's
going to happen. Because now it's like, this place is a fucking mess.
Yeah, the hit job was real.
You know, like, let's say it turns out that his wife did all the tweeting and Colangelo keeps his job.
Yeah.
I don't think LeBron's going into that situation.
No. And let's say they get rid of him.
Then it depends on who they replace him with.
And they replace him with Maverick Carter.
Oh, God.
Let's say they replace him with Channing Tatum's production company.
They replace him with the Road Tripping podcast.
Yes.
There's a rumor that they replace him with David Griffin. And somehow that gets him to go to 76ers? I don't know. It would.
Are they just like, let's look at a picture of a person that LeBron has seen before. That guy. All right, cool. We'll hire him.
Who's LeBron's... they replace him with Rich, his agent. Because Maverick Carter's his, like, business partner,
business
right?
guy, yeah.
Rich something.
I can't remember.
By the way, have you watched the Ben Simmons rookie year documentary?
No, I haven't.
You should watch that.
It's good.
It's a reality show or documentary. That's what I call documentaries.
It's a reality show.
It's a single filmed reality show with no game part.
Because you heard he's dating Kendall Jenner now.
Yes,
right?
Not a good sign.
Great sign. I mean, look what it did for Blake Griffin.
Oh my goodness!
Got him shipped to Detroit.
Wait, is Blake Griffin still? Was he dating that?
It's, yeah, it's the same.
I can't keep track of. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So, because I was like, there's no way she moved to Detroit.
No. They broke up, and now she's dating Ben Simmons. And apparently, she and Blake Griffin were both seen at Coachella avoiding each other.
I get the feeling it's not that hard to avoid.
I was also avoiding them at Coachella by avoiding Coachella.
Yeah. Yeah. And Beyonce was avoiding them both.
Yeah, that's true.
What was I trying to say about...
Who would they hire? Would they hire Rich...
I want to say... Oh, see, he's in the Ben Simmons documentary.
Oh, he is. Okay.
So
they share the same agent, right?
I think he ended up picking him.
Because they show him a lot in the office.
They show him pitching to Ben Simmons to, like, let me be your agent.
Ah.
But it's following Ben Simmons at his year in LSU.
Okay.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
And it's mostly about Ben Simmons being like... college is dumb. This whole system is stupid.
Yeah.
I don't feel like going to class. Yeah. I'm here to just play basketball.
They make me write with my left hand, but I'm going to write with my right hand.
All right. So we'll check in after game two, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
I expect to, you know, not impossible for Cavs to steal one.
No.
That would be a very...
As Kevin Garnett said, anything is possible.
That's right. I'm just flashing back to that Christopher Robin trailer that just came out where people were just like, people say nothing is impossible. And then Pooh's like,
I do nothing all the time.
Yeah. I do nothing. Oh, what is it? Oh, bother.
There's a thing he keeps saying over
and over. That's like, oh, thank you very much.
why? Thank you.
Why? Oh, why? Thank you.
Rule of threes, hard hitting W. I-N-N-I-E, the poo.
Yes, we're going to only talk about poo-related things from now on. I think that it's not impossible because it would fall into line with the Warriors procrastinating how long their backs are against their wall to play well. So that, like, this... Like, the worst-case scenario of that is that this goes seven games.
Oh, God.
Goes to overtime in game seven. And then with like 90 seconds left in overtime, they're like, okay, I guess we'll play now.
Yeah, fine. And then they sink six straight threes and they're like, oh, well.
You know, I think if they had Iguodala, I would be like, they're going to sweep.
Yeah.
It seems like he might not play in the series at all.
Yeah. I mean, it feels weird, all the stuff that's coming out. Like his knee, they need to get a second opinion. He's not recovering well. You know, I mean, when you're older, it takes a little while.
I think the main difference between the Rockets series and this series is that when the Warriors go off on their, like, we're fucking around play.
Yeah.
The Cavaliers have the ability to fuck around just as much.
Yeah.
And, like, reward a turnover with another turnover.
Yeah.
Whereas I feel like...
see some sloppy stuff.
Yeah, I mean, there was a little sloppy play occasionally in the Rockets-Warriors series, but, like, even when the Rockets missed those many three-pointers in a row, it really wasn't sloppy.
No,
it was like, some of them were just missed those shots. That's a decent look.
Yeah.
You ran an okay offense. It wasn't like, you know, we don't know what to do on offense.
Yeah.
It's like, we know exactly what to do up until the last part of it.
Yeah.
So I can see the Warriors sort of like... giving up one, but then like sweeping both the Cavaliers. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's funny. Most people talking about the NBA this week are essentially trying to fill time, trying to think of ways that the Cavaliers could win.
Okay. So let's say they find a way to get Draymond Green like stuck in a big hat. Like he like wears a hat that's way too big and he can't get it off.
Like his a hat. Royal wedding fascinator.
I don't know. Something. Yeah. Yeah. Something that you would wear to the royal wedding and like it gets stuck on his head. Okay. And so he has to play with it on his head. He can't see.
Right. Although I don't think they would allow him to play. I think they would hold him out.
You think they'd hold him out?
I think the league would be like, oh, yeah. This is not.
Yeah. They didn't let, what was it? Dwayne Wade had the mask with the sunglasses. They wouldn't let him play in that.
I don't know anything about that. Is that true?
Yeah, like somebody who broke their face had like a mask that had sunglasses on it. And they were like, you can't wear that because we can't see your eyes. I was like, what is this, war?
Yeah. Why do you need to see someone's eyes?
Yeah, so you can see where they're not going to look when they're going to pass it.
I will say in table tennis, you cannot hide your racket as you serve the ball.
Oh.
You can't hold your arm in front of it as you serve because you have to let the other player see... what
cool things you have. Oh, I thought you were going to say what cool pattern you have on your racket.
Well, back in the day, actually, they made a rule that you had to go red on one side and black on the other.
Ah.
Because you have to be able to see which side of the racket the player is hitting it with.
Oh.
Because there's different rubber on both sides.
Interesting. That's like why the Globetrotters ball is red, white, and blue.
So you can see the spin.
Yeah.
I think that also makes this fancy spinning fancier.
Yeah.
When you're spinning on an elbow. Oh,
yeah, 100%. When you got the ball on a string and you've put it through a Washington General's legs and then you pull it back and then you bop it off of their head. That's America right there.
That would be a good custom jersey to make.
Yo.
A Washington General's jersey that says LeBron.
Oh. And then Globetrotters jerseys with all five Hamptons five starters.
Uh-huh. A Globetrotters jersey that says, like, Nick Young.
Okay, wow. And I think with that extreme case of haterade that we just put on you.
Yeah, I mean, I will never not have some to give.
I think we gotta call this one.
Well, yeah, do you have any shows coming up?
1 week from today, I got two shows.
Ooh.
I got Logan Everett's Yearbook at the Moving Arts Theater in Silver Lake at 8 p.m. And then Bitchcoin is joining Honeymoon Improv at 10 p.m. On that same
night.
Thursday, yeah.
So where is that?
Same exact room.
At Moving Arts. And New Yorkers, later this month, Bitchcoin will be on the East Coast.
East Coast.
At the DCM.
That's right. Chris, if you hear this before I get to talk to you about it, I'm going to come see your baby.
Ah, that's right.
Chris, my other Chris.
Tell the baby as well.
I will. Isla, coming for you.
Every Thursday, I have magic to do at UCB Sunset. I'm going to have that tonight. I got to do that instead of watching... whatever. So tonight will be a DVR night.
Yeah, turn your phone off, get home, get that YouTube TV going.
I will say, if the Cavaliers somehow win this game,
yeah,
I'll be very demotivated to watch this game.
Ooh, now that's the hater. I want to drink that in.
Yeah, I mean, it will produce the most punditry over the next 24 hours.
Oh yeah, I can see Skip Bayless coming on and like really going for like, this is it.
Well, because if the Warriors win tonight, there's really like nothing to say.
Do you think Skip texts Rick about basketball?
Rick
Bayless, his brother.
I think he might text him about tacos.
I mean, yeah, they probably text about tacos.
I bet too. Rick doesn't care about sports.
He doesn't care at all?
And is slightly embarrassed, but happy for his brother.
Okay, all right.
Because Skip Bayless is a extremely successful, like...
asshole?
Yeah, I was going to say troll.
Yeah.
Like, is a good example. He's like he's the mirror image of Nick Wright, kind of.
Yeah.
I actually like, even given that I agree more with Skip Bayless than Nick Wright, I still like Skip Bayless, aside from that, more than Nick Wright.
Got it.
Because Nick Wright to me is like, I bet if you go back, I bet Skip Bayless has like 15 to 20 years of like working at a newspaper, writing real sports stories, and then has transitioned into like, I don't have to do any journalistic work. I just show up and have opinions.
The Rick Riley, Bill Plaschke story.
Yes. And the Tim Kawakamis.
Oh.
I bet Nick Wright doesn't have that.
Yeah. No.
Everybody from the blog era is like, I had a blog for like 6 months and now I got a press pass.
I mean,
that's what we're doing.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, we have a press pass.
The day we get a press pass, this podcast shuts down. Which actually doesn't make any sense.
No,
they'd be like,
no sense.
You have to give us that back now.
No, we got the pass. This is for life. You have to divorce us if you want the pass back.
Exactly. So we'll see you after game two.
Yeah.
And come see Casey's show next week.
Yeah. Thank you.
And we'll see you next time.
Great. Bye.
Bye.